more than 1,200 points, a loss of 2.5%. The NASDAQ off 622 points. This is SRN News.
Are you searching for good, conservative, theologically sound Bible books, commentaries, and teaching materials? Conservative Theological University has about 6,000 titles and about 120,000 volumes available. Shop today at conservative.edu, scroll down to Bookstore, browse, and place your order today. That's conservative.edu and scroll to Bookstore. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
I've called it several times down to the less than 100 years, time to rebuild. It's time for a temple. Open the eastern gates. Jesus Christ is coming back, etc., etc. But the point is, we find throughout the scripture talking about a new temple that shall be rebuilt. And let me simply say this. It's an impossibility for the Jewish people to build a Jewish temple, place to worship, and place it next door to a place that is simply a stench in the nostrils of God, called the El-Aqsa Mosque, the Dome of the Rock, as it is called. You ever wondered why it's called the Dome of the Rock? Because the dome covers the rock that is Mount Moriah, where the first sacrificial offer was made in relationship to the sacrifice of Isaac that was directed by God to Abraham. Genesis 22, study it. And ladies and gentlemen, Genesis 22, Abraham was told to go to the land of Moriah and offer Isaac on the mountain of God, and he would show him. The text also doesn't say specifically Mount Moriah, but that's what it is, to the place called Mount Moriah, the land of Moriah. Later in 2 Chronicles 3, verse 1, the Bible states that Solomon built his temple on Mount Moriah in Jerusalem. In this verse, it's what connects the Abraham sacrifice to the future temple. And ladies and gentlemen, the Jewish tradition identifies Mount Moriah as the Temple Mount, specifically the rock known today as the Dome of the Rock, the foundation stone, if you will. The rock lies directly beneath the Dome of the Rock, which was built in 691, ladies and gentlemen. The rabbinical tradition is that the stone is the place of Abraham's binding Isaac. It is the site of the first and second temple. It is the spiritual center of the universe based on God's creation, if you will. So, ladies and gentlemen, may I say to you, Mount Moriah, the Dome of the Rock, the El-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem, in my most humble opinion, keep your eye on what is happening in the sky when it comes to the missiles being lobbed today. Now, I may be wrong. But I believe we're based on the time frame that we're in theologically, doctrinally, eschatologically, and the last of the last days. I believe it could happen at any moment. I believe we could witness the headline news, Dome of the Rock is blown off the Mount, the Temple Mount. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, that 35 acres that is called the Temple Mount, that is probably the area that is most sought after by the Islamics to dominate and take. By the way, listen, just a little point of reference here, and then we'll take our callers. Across the world, Islam and its incrementalism and growing, Islam is delighted, they rejoice, celebrate when they can find a church that is closed or a Christian place of worship and buy it and convert it to a mosque. Exactly what you see that has taken place in Israel, where the place of the first temple, the second temple, and the remodeling of the temple that became Herod's temple, we find, ladies and gentlemen, that same sacred place is where the mosque is today. The Dome of the Rock. It is the Al-Aqsa Mosque. It is the Islamic's point that says we dominate. We are in control of the land. I believe we have Bob on the line. Bob, go with the question or comment, please.
Hey, Pastor. A lot of people, Bible prophecy people, make a very big mistake. And they think that the next war is going to be with Ezekiel 38. If you read Ezekiel 38 carefully, you will notice that they have to be dwelling safely. They have to be dwelling in peace before that war will take place, meaning that something has to happen before that. And I'm pretty sure it's going to be the Psalm 83 war. But anyone who says that the Ezekiel 38 war is next is not reading that chapter correctly.
Go ahead.
Well, I want to say something that's totally insignificant, but we're talking about all of the generals that are being killed in Iran, and if you remember the Civil War, how many generals did Lincoln go through before he got to Grant? Quite a few, right?
That's correct. By the way,
and one other thing, the temple will not be the first building, in my opinion, to be rebuilt in Israel. It's going to be the Mosaic Tabernacle. They know where the tabernacle is buried. That will be unearthed. The tabernacle will be set up in the Mount of Olives. That will be temporary until they rebuild the temple on the mountain where you're talking about. But the temporary tabernacle is going to be what will be set up first until the temple is set up.
Bob, so let me take just a moment and I'll say this and get your take on it. Number one, what you're saying with the tabernacle and that being first, that is not just secondary, it's probably tertiary, because there's no place in the scripture that says that, alludes to that, or gives any verses even out of context that says that. Secondly, when we look at Ezekiel 38 and 39, we find that as unit of thought, and we find that where Israel, where Russia leads five nations, Iran, Turkey, Germany, Libya, and Syria. All of those nations that Russia will lead are either totally Islamic or dominated by Islam, and all of those nations are there today. And what you're talking about with Israel being a nation at peace, an unwalled city, an unwalled nation, that's what they are today. They have a wall, but that wall is not their sole protection. That means that they are looking at, for example, with the Abraham Accord and other accords, where it seems as though there's a lull in the battle and that there is a modicum of peace. That's what we're seeing. But I'm not saying that we're in the full-fledged World War III, or what is called the war with Russia in the biblical text. We're witnessing, as I've said for the past four, almost 5 years now, when Russia invaded Ukraine, I said we're witnessing the match being lit, the start of World War III. And that's what we're witnessing today, because World War III is what is necessary for the hidden imam, the 12th Mahdi, to come from out of it, nowhere, according to the Islamic Shiite thinking and teaching and preaching. And it is under that domination of Islam that will bring about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ and the hidden imam. And according to theology, if you want to call it that, in Islamic thinking and preaching and teaching, that the 12th Imam, the Imadi, when he returns, will join hands with Jesus and will then bring all of the world to its knees in submission to Allah and not to the God of the creation. And we find what is happening in Ezekiel 38 and Ezekiel 39. We find it taking place incrementally. Here's why I'm saying that and pointing it out as a reference. When you look at Ezekiel 38 and 39, the war is taking place on horseback. On horseback. You have to ask the question, why? It's because it will be at a point in time when the oil supply will be depleted and or shut off completely. It will be a time and place where you will have no power, no energy to fly jet airplanes and to fly drones. And so we've not reached that point yet, I understand it. But we're on the fast track to get to that point, and that's the ultimate culmination. And the war with Russia leads into the final cataclysmic battle known as the Battle of Armageddon. The two are not the same battle, but it leads into that. So I pray that that's encouragement and a challenge not only to you but to our listeners today. But Bob, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. I believe Jim's on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood. How are you today?
I'm doing great. I pray that you are.
Doing well. Old Arabic saying, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. If you look at who Iran is hitting right now, they're hitting all the Islamic nations that actually surround Israel. So I could see where a false sense of security would come from within Israel and those about Israel. But if you look at the fundamentalists that are in Islam, and I'm talking about Iran, look to their north. You've got Azerbaijani, you got Georgia, you've got Afghanistan, and then you got Pakistan to the east. So there's a cradle of hardcore fundamentalist Islamics that are to the north and east of Iran right now. Now, if you look at it geopolitically, China has been getting a lot of their oil from Iran. Mm-hmm. Regardless of what the rest of the world is saying on an embargo of Iranian oil there, China's still getting cheap oil. Russia doesn't care because they've got their own oil reserves that they used when Biden shut down drilling in the Gulf, exploration, and permitting for federal land applications there. At the beginning of his administration there, Russia was selling their oil that they get from, if you look, around Stalingrad, the Caucasus. They've got huge oil reserves there. So they were selling that at above market prices because Biden shut down our production, and that allowed them to finance the war that they're currently engaged with in Ukraine. So Russia has no political reason to actually help Iran. If anything, we've seen since last Friday, fuel was $2.95 here in Jacksonville. This morning it was $3.25. So every time that fuel goes up, it benefits Russia. So they're not going to get involved. China is chomping at the bit because they want their Iranian oil. So I'd be more worried about that. Another friend that I have who lives in Athens, who's a Persian from Iran, because he left the country in the late 70s. Like a lot of Iranians have done after the Shah was overthrown, is saying that without some substantial form of greater military intervention, we might get a Revolutionary Guard member who would come on the scene that will be even worse than the current regime, or we might get a moderate. But it's kind of all up in the air right now, and it's a very fluid situation.
It's very fluid, super fluid situation, because we cannot force the outcome. We can set the stage for the outcome, and that's what I believe Trump has in mind, to give the citizens of Iran the opportunity to stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen, and select their own leader. But it could be vastly different. But it goes back to 79, when the Shah of Iran was taken out. And by the way, his son is now in exile, and it is my opinion that he needs to be the one brought back in and become the leader in Iran to follow in the dad's footsteps in carrying out what the Shah of Iran was doing at the time. And it was the ineptness of a U.S. president called Jimmy Carter that allowed that to take place and allowed our soldiers to be held for 444 days by the Iranians while Jimmy Carter sat back and did nothing. And when you compare what is happening now with what Carter allowed to take place, it's like the difference in day and night, because Carter was sitting back biting his knuckles wondering what to do, and President Trump took a stand that this is what we're going to do to preemptively prevent Iran from getting a nuclear weapon that could destroy all of the Middle East and hold America hostage. We did the same thing. When I say we, America did the same thing with North Korea. The president's in charge at the time, biting the knuckles, chewing on the fingernails, not knowing what to do, and taking a let's just wait and see attitude. So as a result of that, we've got Kim Jong-un that has the nuclear weapons now that holds all of that part of the world at hostage as a result of presidents in America sitting back and allowing it to take place. But Jim, it demands our prayer. But the thing that excites me is to one of the articles that I read, and one writer said that it seems as though that Iran is just lobbing missiles haphazardly with no aim and no goal and no target. And when I read that, I said, bingo, there it is. That's exactly what I think will take place in the Middle East. Could be now, could be later, could be the next uprising, but I believe based on everything else, with all being equal eschatologically, theologically, prophetically in the Bible, I believe we're in the last of the last days, and I believe that we're witnessing the next thing on the calendar of God of the rapture of the church, and I believe before the rapture of the church, we'll see some of these chessmen being put on the board, i.e., the getting ready for the rebuilding of the temple. And it excites me because Jesus Christ, when he returns, Zechariah chapter 14, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4, Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 through 16, when Jesus Christ returns, we will return with him. He'll be riding on a white horse, and we'll be riding with him, and he will land on the Mount of Olives, and the Bible says the Mount of Olives will cleave. That means the mountain will split, forming a valley straight into the Eastern Gate, which is now walled up, has been since the 7th century, walled up by the Islamics to prevent the Jewish people from going in and out of the temple, in and out of the Eastern Gate. Jesus will enter into that gate, and according to my Bible, he'll be seated on his throne and will rule and reign for 1,000 years out of Jerusalem, on the throne, in the new temple that shall be rebuilt. And I'm ready. I'm anxious. Looking forward to what God is going to do even today. It could happen today. So, Jim, thank you so much, brother, for your call. God bless you.
Can I make one more note, sir?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Saladin is the caliph that actually blocked the Eastern Gate, so he was aware of biblical prophecy.
That's right.
Abdul Malik was the actual builder. He was a caliph that built the Dome of the Rock on that very site, and then turned around and claimed it's where Muhammad began his journey of the night.
Mm-hmm. And all mythology.
The caliphs do have a sense of biblical prophecy, and they even bring forward the name of Jesus Christ in their perversion of their form of prophecy. Mm-hmm. So they're aware of it, and they're doing things that are non-Christian, that are secular, thinking they're going to prevent it, like walling up a gate. You're not going to stop Christ from entering the East Gate because you put some bricks there.
Amen. I second that motion.
A spoken word, and it's going to be over.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He's not going to have to get a brick mason to come and remove the open the gate up and to enter. But I'm looking forward to it. God's on the throne, and whatever God's word says, that settles it, whether individuals believe it, look at it, like it or not. It is God's word first, foremost, and finally. Jim, thank you so much, brother, for your call. God bless you. I believe we have Kevin on the line. Kevin, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, I'd like to give the Bible codes, brother. Hold on a second. I'd like to give Bible codes and brother Martin the glory for this revelation that Daniel 8:5 has been fulfilled, where it says, "And I was considering, behold, a he goat," that's the United States of America, "came from the west on the face of the whole earth, and touched not the ground. And the goat had a notable horn between his eyes." That he goat is us. We touch not the ground. We got the Bible codes. It's Operation Hammer. We are the He-Goat. That was Operation Hammer. We touched not the ground. The B-1s came over and bombed Iran. We're in full war. We warned you years ago that the Bible code said World War III already started.
Kevin, if I could take just a moment, that Bible code is out of order if that's what it is saying. America didn't even come into existence until that time, and what you're seeing in the Daniel 8 text that you're talking about has nothing to do with the United States of America. And that single horn that it's talking about is the coming Antichrist that will be that one that stands up with the horn. So we need to be careful with juxtaposing mythology with the reality of the Word of God. I take the Word of God very seriously. I look at it and study it in context, not with a verse or phrase pulled out of context, but looking at the total text in context to see what God is telling us. I'm excited about what we see happening. I'm excited to understand and know that God's prophetic word is coming to fruition. I'm excited to see that all that God says shall take place will take place, just as the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ we found in the scripture 331 times, I believe it was, as far as the prophecy about the first coming. All of those have taken place just as he said, and I believe just as we find in the scripture now, talking about the coming, the rebuilding of the third temple, I believe it shall be done. I believe it shall be on Mount Moriah, which is the dome where the Dome of the Rock is today, and it shall be removed. And I believe, and I'm praying, that it'll be a lobbed missile that gets off course coming out of Iran that will allow us, we as Christians, allow us to see, get a glimpse of what God is doing as we get ready to be lifted out of this whole world. Sudden seizure, sudden disappearing as the Christians are snatched out in the rapture. Kevin, brother, thank you so much for your call. I believe Lily's on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Thank you very much, Dr. Youngblood. God bless you and for your program. Praise God. I am rejoicing, giving glory to God. Thank God we are living in interesting times, and
absolutely,
we know who our mighty God is in charge. I have no losing respect more and more for those clergy, those ministries, pastors, who are silent, that are preaching the word, and they're not paying no attention to the culture and everything that is politics. So they're not touching it with a long stick, and they allow our country, allow our freedom. Islam is on the verge of taking over, and they are totally silent. But praise God, we know our mighty God. Very interesting. I agree with you that it's going to be, he's working his purpose out, and the powers of darkness is not able to prevent or to interfere. When the time come at the right time, the Temple Mount will be available, just as you have been saying, it's going to happen according to his program. Powers of darkness is unleashed on our world. David Jeremiah, I don't know if you heard him, but it was powerful. This morning I heard him, and tomorrow again he said, dealing with socialism, he's speaking out plainly. Thank God for the men of God, the clergy who are willing, who have the courage to be speaking out in these days, because we say our culture is going to hell in a handbasket while the clergy keep silent and remain aloof, not concerned in any way to what is happening. If the clergy don't give guidance, if guidance don't come from the church, from the word of God, you know, then God help the culture. So thank you for what you're doing. May God continue to bless your ministry and what you're doing, and for, praise God, those of us who are holding on to the great salvation that he has provided for us.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen. That is correct. I'm thankful to hear you say that, Lily. It's a blessing to understand and recognize and grasp the fact that God is in control. God's still on the throne. God's not asleep. God's not on a vacation. And as they had the old saying back in the 60s, God's not dead. So I praise God for the fact that we can trust him, knowing that what he says, what his word says, shall come to fruition just as he said. Lily, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, Daniel chapter 9, verse 17, Daniel prayed, "Now therefore, O God, hear the prayer of thy servant and thy supplication, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake." And ladies and gentlemen, the Orthodox Jews today pray three times a day. Listen, do you know what they pray? In part, this is part of it. May it be thy will, O God, that the temple shall speedily be rebuilt in our own time. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the Orthodox Jewish prayer and has been for quite some time now. We need to understand the importance of the temple. We need to understand why it is important to the Jewish people. We need to understand why it's important for us to recognize what is taking place and when it will take place. I believe we're going to see, ladies and gentlemen, in our lifetime before the rapture of the church, I believe we're going to see the high probability of the things, these things coming to fruition. I'm thankful for that which is called the Temple Mount movement. Let me just read you one brief article on that. There's just one single organization called the Temple Mount Movement, but several Jewish religious and nationalist groups in Israel aim to change the long-standing status quo of the Temple Mount, which currently allows Jewish visitors but prohibits Jewish prayer on the site under government policy. As of June of 1967, the arguments were that you could not, the Jewish people could not go to the Temple Mount and pray. It's carried out because the Muslim administration that remains absolutely adamant that the Jewish people can go there on certain occasions, but they cannot offer prayer. And ladies and gentlemen, there's a small Orthodox Jewish movement founded in 1967 that advocates the rebuilding of the Third Temple on the Temple Mount where the Islamic holy site stands today. February 2026, Israel High Court of Justice allowed members of the group to visit the Temple Mount and under certain conditions. Ladies and gentlemen, Just about every year, they've had something being done with the Temple Mount movement. The Temple Mount movement coming to fruition each and every time, wanting to do something to get the temple started in its rebuilding, wanting to do something that will allow that temple to get started in its building. The Temple Mount movement, with its desire and saying, as the Orthodox Jews praying every day three times, and they're praying, may it be thy will, O God, that the temple be speedily rebuilt. Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 40 through 41, God promised the temple would be in the mountain, the Mount Moriah. And in Ezekiel 40 through 46, God provides the blueprints for the temple to be rebuilt. And I say it's ready to rebuild. It's time to rebuild. It's time to witness that. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking forward to what God is going to do, because when the Lord Jesus Christ snatches us out of this old world and the rapture of the church, there's 7 years of tribulation that will take place. That 7 years of tribulation will be under the hard fist denomination dominating hand of the lawless one, the Antichrist, according to Revelation. And as we see that, ladies and gentlemen, in chapter 13 of the book of the Revelation, every Jew, everyone that says yes to Jesus Christ, will be martyred because of his faith. And listen very carefully, one final footnote. If you've not said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, don't say, well, I'm going to wait and see what happens with the rapture of the church. After the rapture of the church, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2 and following, if you've chosen not to believe, then God's going to send you a delusion and make it impossible for you to say yes to Jesus Christ. So I would say yes to Jesus now. Receive him as Savior now and be ready for what God's going to do in the near future in relationship to bringing about his will and the fruition of the Word of God. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issue.
You've been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative